This podcast replay is brought to you by A. Lenny Locksmith Services. From lockouts to lock changes for home or business, car key replacements, and programming for all model cars. 24 hours a day, go to the website at alennylocksmith.com.
Somebody's saying Rockville and Daytona. I know, but I'm not there this year. Maybe next year, Sean and I will be there covering it and enjoying. All right, let's talk a little hockey. Let's talk a little legacy. Where the hell is Huberto and Barkov, bro? When are they going to wake up? They didn't wake up in the first series. They haven't woken up in this series. What the hell is going on? Stars need to be stars, David. What's going on? Do they know that? Do they realize that?
I think they're finding that it's a little tougher to do what they do in the playoffs than it was during the regular season. I wouldn't say that they haven't shown up. They're not showing up on the score sheet as much as they did. But, I mean, you know, Barkov was great at the end of the Washington series. He led, I believe he led all Panthers in shots on goal last game. Huberto had the great setup of Duclair in the first goal. You're seeing it. What?
Not enough, bro. Not enough. You got to be Jimmy Butler, bro. You got to be a son of a bitch. Here's the question I have for you. Huberto Barkov, are they more Bam Adebayo or are they more Jimmy Butler? Because they seem to me to be Bam Adebayo, and I don't think they have any Jimmy Butler in them. I don't think they can be sons of bitches. I don't think they can be Sidney Crosby and cut your heart out. I don't think they can do what Lemieux used to do. I don't think they... Wayne Gretzky was beautiful with his golden locks, and then he would cut your heart out. Dwayne Wade would look at you with that baby face smile, and then he'd cut your heart out. Is Huberto or Barkov more Bam than they are Jimmy?
Well, you remember Huberto last year in the playoff series had 10 points in the 6 game. So it's not like they haven't shown it in the past. But I mean, that's a pretty harsh candle to hold guys to when you're talking about Wayne Gretzky, Sidney Crosby, Mario Lemieux, Dwayne Wade. I mean, you're talking about best of the best.
Jimmy Butler. I want you to be Jimmy Butler, bro. Be Jimmy Butler, please.
That's what we need to see. Like we saw it in game one from Nikita Kucherov. You know, he just kind of coasted around for half the game. But when the shit hit the fan and when they needed him to show up, he was out there and he was making plays. And they ended up being game-winning plays. So, no, I'm not saying that they don't need to do more than they are. I'm not saying they're not capable of it. We just need to see it.
Oh, I know they're capable of it. I know the good Lord gifted them with that talent. But, I mean, dude, if you think you're going to win a Stanley Cup and your two best players aren't going to be the best – and you're not going to score in the power play, I don't know what the hell we're waiting for. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not panicking after the first loss here, but I am pissed that they didn't learn anything from the last one and that now you're now already in another hole and you still can't score in the power play and your two best players are not playing like they're supposed to play. And to me, you already got past the first round without the power play and without your two best players being their best. You just can't keep rolling the dice this way. It's going to come up snake eyes.
That's basically it. Like you need to see the results. Like when, you know, I wouldn't say that Barkov and Huberto aren't playing the way they usually play, but the results aren't there. And at the end of the day, that's what has to happen. You've saw like in game one, you saw pieces of it, like I said before, like Huberto and his line with Bennett and Duclair, they were great in the first period. They scored the first goal. They were creating chances. They were controlling puck possession. And then as the game went on, it happened less and less. With Barkov, like you don't notice him as much as you are accustomed to seeing him in the regular season. And look, it's the playoffs, and I get all that. But at the end of the day, the cream's going to rise to the top, and the stars that you know are the biggest stars are going to shine on the biggest stage. Now this is their opportunity. They've never been on a stage this big before. So this is where they need to step up and show that they are those guys.
Well, Connor David, cut your heart out?
Connor McDavid?
Connor, yes. Woody?
Dude, he'll cut it out. He'll throw it on a bed of rice, preheat it in the oven for 450 degrees, and serve it to you for dinner. Connor McDavid is on another level. You can't compare him to anybody in the league right now. Connor McDavid is the best player in a generation.
So do you think these guys can have any Butler in them, or are they more? Because we've been doing this with Bam too. It's the same shit, by the way.
Well,
which, by the way, I've already reached the point too with Bam He'll never be that. It's not in him to be a SOB. It's not. He has no Alonzo Mourning in him. He just doesn't. It's not in him. You know what I'm saying? And so I can't expect that from him. So I'm asking you, will Jonathan Huberdeau and Barkov, by this time, does it look like they can ever be those kind of guys?
Those kind of guys, I hesitate to say, only because there's an alpha gene that those kind of guys have, that they have a nose for the net. They score in the hard times. Huberdeau and Barkov are amazing hockey players, but they're not shoot first mentality, alpha type guys. And again, I'm not, there's no knock on them, but when you're talking about a Connor McDavid or any player that you can say is going to cut your heart out in the playoffs, they have not shown that they're going to be that kind of player. They're
I almost feel like distributors, racking up the points.
Like
Connor Verhaeghe wants to be that guy more than Huberdeau and Barkov does. It's crazy.
Yeah, you've seen like over the years, like Frank Vetrano, he was that kind of guy, a shoot first guy. Now his skill isn't anywhere near the other guys.
Right.
Mike Hoffman, another one with the Panthers had for a couple of years, very shoot first oriented, puck to the net. I mean, remember Panthers history, Olli Jokinen. That guy had a cannon for a shot, and right. He'd put him up. He'd shoot every opportunity he got. There's not a player.
What was the guy next to Fleischmann? He was a little bit of a son of a bitch too.
Oh,
the guy next to Fleischmann.
I'm picturing him. I can't think of his name. The guy that came from Chicago.
Yeah, he played. He had a little dog in him too. He had a little bit of that in him. But yeah, it's just. But you think about it as gifted.
Blanking on his name,
dude. Huberdeau played like an MVP this year.
Chris Versteeg.
Versteeg, yes. He had a little son of a bitch in him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so, but it's like Huberdeau this year, bro. There were moments that I was like, I'm watching him, and I'm like, wow, it's a coming of age. That's what I thought was happening with Huberdeau this year. It was a coming of age. And it was, actually, really, in the regular season, he had played like we'd never seen before. Plus, Barkov goes out, and it was like he said, I need to take over now. And he did. And I was really happy with that. And that's kind of the attitude I want now. I want both of these guys to say, we need to take over. And if we got to set you up, we'll set you up. But if I got to score, I got to score. You know what I mean? Well, and I don't know.
Right, if that's there. It. Yeah. What you just said, that's the difference. That's the issue. Like even during the regular season, when they were taking over, it wasn't individualism. It was all pretty plays. Even if they make some great, you know, Barkov cuts through the neutral zone, you know, Swiss cheeses the defense. He's still probably going to be passing the puck to someone else, and it's going to be a great play. Huberdeau, he's got these amazing spinorama assist plays that he's famous for, but they're not doing it all on their own. They're not finishing the plays on their own. And I think that's kind of the X factor that we're talking about right now is, okay, Barkov is going to go swizzle and swaggle and do his thing. We're going to cut off the guys that he's going to pass it to. And then the puck just kind of floats off to nowhere. And that's what we're seeing on the power play a lot in the Washington series and in game one against the Washington or against Tampa the other night. A lot of passing plays that ended up with the puck going to nowhere. You see these great moves, these great opportunities. They're getting around the net. No shot on goal. There's a certain point where guys just have to start thinking, I'm going to be selfish and shoot the puck. And I mean, I feel like we've said it ad nauseum over and over and over and over around the Panthers. It hasn't really been an issue this season particularly because they're scoring so much and they're finishing these amazing plays. But right now I think they need somebody or multiple somebodies to just shoot the damn puck every time you get one time it, throw it at the goalie. That's what's going to happen.
Andrew Brunette, how have you graded his coaching and his adjustments so far? Because I have a hard time measuring them in the regular season because I kind of think they were already in cruise control and they are who they are. But I don't know if he's making a difference in the playoffs right now. Is he making the proper adjustments fast enough in the playoffs? Your thoughts on Brunette right now?
I was, as the first round went on, I went from like down here to it just kind of raised because I saw the Panthers – notice what the Capitals were doing. They were keeping a winger up high. They were clogging up. They were stacking up on the blue line, and they were taking away the Panthers' speed in the neutral zone. So the Panthers are a team that during the regular season, their flow, the way that they possess the puck into the zone, They carried it in. They kept possession. They did it more than any other team. That's where all their offensive opportunities came off rush more than any other team. Their dump and chase opportunities were the lowest in the league. So what do they do against the Capitals? Suddenly they start dumping the puck more. They start getting behind their D and going to work that way. And it took a couple of games. You saw it took them a little while before you started to see the Panthers playing that style that we where they finally get in the zone and start doing what they do. It took them a little while to get set up against the Capitals because they were skating their asses off and they were taking away time and space. But those adjustments gave me a little bit more confidence in Brunette and his staff that they're very much paying attention to what's happening in the playoffs, that they understand that a playoff series is a living, breathing thing that you've got to get through. And they made those adjustments. So I actually feel good about the playoff adjustments they made. I thought switching up the D pairings was really smart. Putting Sherratt and Ekblad together, putting Weider with Forsling was key because Weider, I mean, you know, for a guy that, you know, cares as much as he does and has as much skill as he does, he's very much a live by the blade, die by the blade type of player where he's going to make great plays, but he's going to make aggressive mistakes. And putting him with Forsling, who Andrew Brunette, I believe, called Mr. Fix-It sure. during the Capital Series, it's turned him around a little bit. Hopefully, you know, game one was a little rough for Weider. He had a couple penalties. He kind of got turned inside out by Nikita Kucherov. But, you know, overall, to answer your question, I thought that the first couple of games I was skeptical. As the series went on, I felt better and better that the coaching staff, they weren't in over their heads.
By the way, Montour had some key plays in that game too, bro. Could have. He had a couple moments there too in that game. All right, let me.
He's good, like Brandon Montour. Yeah. He's a solid player.
Yeah, no, and smart plays in pressure moments. Like he responds quickly and really, really impressive with that guy's response and thinking in really, really tough situations. There, he got the Cats out of a bad situation a couple of times. I was really impressed with him. The power play, bro. I know you can't answer this question. Hell, they can't answer the damn question. How bad is it? Is it a lack of confidence? What are you reading into this? 0-21. You're into the second series. I don't know what the hell the record is. Is there a record? Somebody keep a track of this. But they either have the record or approaching the record. But who the hell has done this in the playoffs and how long can you survive? Because that's what frustrated me early on in that Tampa game. They kept making one stupid mistake after another, giving them that I felt like it was Oprah Winfrey with a Panthers uniform. You get a power play and you get a power play and you get a power play. That's kind of the way I felt in that game. And I'm like, oh, guys, you're playing the Lightning. Don't give them these chances. And Meanwhile, when you get these chances, holy crap, you've got this offense and you can't score, dude. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, it's like they've said it time and time again. Got to stay out of the box. Got to keep control of our sticks. We got to take away the undisciplined penalties. And then they go out and high that happens.
After high
six power plays for Tampa. 50% they convert on 3 of 6. Florida gets 3 power plays, does nothing. That was the story of last year's series, really, with special teams. The Panthers were better 5-on-5. The Panthers were better 5-on-5 on Tuesday.
Yes,
but
they were.
Had six power plays.
Even when there was a 4-on-4, I tweeted, I like our chances. If it's all even, I like our chances. But guys, let's stop with the stupidity already, bro. Come on.
It's getting to the point where, like, if the Panthers see that the ref has his arm up about to call a penalty on Tampa, they should send, like, 4 guys over the boards and just get a too many men on the ice penalty and just go 4-on-4 instead of taking the power play. Because they, again, even strength, they look good. And 4-on-4 with the extra ice, I think it's even more to their advantage. So let's, you know, this would be a completely new strategy, you know, but I'm the way the power play has gone, you know what? You can't decline the penalty. So let's just, you know, accidentally shoot the puck into the seats, whatever you need to do to get it to be 4-on-4. I think that might be a little bit more productive than the power play because it's frustrating. And I think, and last game, I was pulling my hair out, was like what I was saying before, too many passes. So like just get pucks on net.
Yes.
Just get a couple of one-timers. Like, you don't need to get – like, I get it. Your guys, they are excellent players. They can pull off these plays. But it's going to get harder and harder to do it the deeper you get into the playoffs. Pucks on net. I'll wear a hat that says
it. And then attack pucks on the net and play the rebound, too. What the hell,
Look at Tampa, to their credit. Exactly. They were blocking a shitload of shots in game one. Like, I was really impressed with how they were selling out along the boards to win puck battles, to block shots. Tampa was on their game, and I hope Florida had their eyes open a little bit and saw, okay, that's like we're in the big game now. Like the Capitol series, that was fun. That was cute. That was round one. Now you're playing the two-time champs that hate your guts. And like you want to talk about cutting out your soul? Tampa's going to cut out your soul if you don't get your shit together right now.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And you know what? This is a team that can score on Vasilevsky, and they've proven that the last couple of years.
Yes. Who else can do that but the Panthers?
But there's only one little thing I'm a little concerned about. That Vasilevsky dude is starting to heat up, and he's starting to look pretty good. And you're like, God, I hope he's not like returning to like elite form right now at this moment, because I saw a little bit of that the other night, and I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to see this. You know what I'm saying?
He's a guy that you'd never want to give the lead to. If you could get in early, you could keep it tight. If Tampa's got a lead in the third period, he's always going to take his game to another level. And he's already the best goalie in the world. Yeah, I get like Igor Shesterkin probably had a more consistent season, and he'll get
he wasn't the Vasilevsky that we're all spoiled with this season. But the other night I was like, holy crap, this. And he looked like that too, by the way, at the end of the Toronto series too. He started to kind of come around a little bit in that Toronto series. So it's like, oh crap, dude, I hope he's not playing, because the Panthers have been able to score on him the last couple of years. So
yeah, they're probably the only team that's scored on him with any kind of consistency over the last two seasons. So it's not like they haven't shown that they can get his number, but you
get in his head a little lead. Bit. Yeah.
You give him confidence.
Yes.
Don't do that. Like, this guy is not human. He is probably the best clutch goalie that this league has seen since Patrick Waugh. Like, he is on another planet. Yeah, I like watching it because I'm a goalie and I'm nerd out.
But Bordeaux were on a roll in those days, bro. Those guys. Yeah. That's
we were spoiled.
Yeah. Those were special right there. Yeah. All right. They bounce back tonight. They have to, right? This is a must win.
They have to.
This is a must win.
You saw what happened last year. You can't lose game one and two at home to Tampa. Right. Like, if that can't happen, you're not going to win 4 out of 6 with half the games on the road. You need to, and after what happened in game one, you got to make a statement that this isn't last year.
Yeah.
It'll be tough. You know, the one thing that concerns me right now is Verhaeghe's maybe been your best player in the playoffs, most consistent, and he's a game time decision today.
By the way, you lose tonight, it's 4 out of 5. You got to win.
Yeah, exactly. 4 out of 5 with 3 on the road.
Yeah, you're not doing that. You're not doing it.
Nobody's going to come out and say must win game two. But we know it's a must-win game too.
And by the way, the other thing I talked about, I talked about this earlier in the show. This is so meaningful in so many different ways. One, you have to justify the season you just had. Going out in the second round would not do that. Going out to Tampa again, that would be just absolutely debilitating. And then number two is, it is so important to have the deep run, possibly get to the cup or even win it, because you're finally trying to get over the hump of selling hockey to South Florida. And in order for us to get the average to less than average fan or whatever, or somewhat interested fan to get on board, you have to win and you have to go overboard. You have to prove that you're the bomb. And if the Panthers fail in the second round, it makes it that much harder for the front office and sales and everybody to sell the team that, hey, yeah, we're great, and fill the place up next year. People will still say, same old Panthers, even if you lose in the second round, not the first round, even in the second round, it'll make it that much harder again to continue to sell hockey to the average so-called fan.
Yeah, you know how this, you know, it's a star bleeping town. I always say it. They love their winners. And it's just funny, how the Panthers have come such a long way from a team that, you know, made the playoffs once in 2 decades, whatever it was. Now it's same old Panthers losing in the playoffs to Tampa. Right. I'm not, you know, just taking a moment to appreciate how far we've come with this franchise. Because, yeah, and look, ultimately, they're going to be judged on if they get to that success, you know, and the success would be at least, I think, Eastern Conference Finals would be like, you know, if you reach the East Finals, maybe I think that's pretty good for a first year team. That's reaching these heights. But, man.
When you win the President's Cup, you got to go deep this year. You
have and you've got to prove that you can get over the hump of your cross-state rival. Yeah. You've beaten them in the regular season. You've shown that you can do all that crap. But, I mean, last year's playoff series, it was fun. It was exciting. But, you know, it was 6 games. It wasn't even seven games. It was six games. And they were down 3-1. Yep. It was great to watch, but they were never really in it.
No, I'm with you.
They were a fluke overtime goal away from getting swept.
Yeah.
So, this is it.
There's no doubt. 24-hour locksmith, alennylocksmith.com is the website. House or car locks. They do it all. They can reprogram your keys to your home keys. They do it all. Key replacement. Call them 855-869-5625. Go to alennylocksmith.com. And remember, locations all throughout South Florida. We've got two locations in Tampa and Orlando. Yeah, we'll service the Lightning fans too. And we also have one in Phoenix, Arizona. So locations and growing all over the place. alennylocksmith.com. By the way, speaking of keeping it kind of locked down, Bob really hasn't been the problem here. So for those of us that, and some of us are concerned, we can't really point the fingers at the goaltender. So that's actually a pretty good thing so far.
Yeah, that's especially after last year with the three goalies in six games.
Right.
That's a blessing for the Panthers that they don't have to even worry about goaltending at this point. Even the games where, like last game where it's four goals, it's not like Bob is giving up these like pull out your hair, frustrating, what the hell was that kind of goals. Like he's locked in like I've never seen him in a Panthers uniform. Yeah. It's finally had. We've been talking about it for since he got here, Orlando. Finally, we don't have to talk about Bob.
Right.
He's just doing his thing. He's earning his salary.
Yeah, right now he's definitely not the issue. I'd point the fingers more at Huberto, Barkov, and the power play.
The stars have to shine.
Yeah, the stars have to do it, and then the power play. Those two things. You get those, and I think they'll be just fine because you nailed it. When we're even strength, it's obvious. Just like watching the Capitals game. It's like, holy shit, dude, Panthers are way better, bro. They're the better team. Just don't get caught up in any of the other crap, and you'll win. You know what I mean? So let's hope they can handle it. What are you working on, by the way, at WPLG or Chirping the Cats podcast? Tell them about it.
Yeah, I actually just posted a nice Tampa series preview with Eric Erlandson, who's been covering the Lightning forever. That just went up. It's on, on all the Chirping the Cats podcast, all the podcast networks. And like, honestly, Bigel, what I'm working on right now is this like ridiculous excitement that I have after listening before I came on the air. I was already super pumped up for the Top Gun sequel.
Oh yeah.
Now I'm like, going nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Super jacked. I just keep hearing things about it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure what to expect in terms of like reviews and like, I was going to watch it no matter what, but to hear that people are like gushing over how good it is, like that's like icing on the cake.
Five minute standing ovation they gave.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Go find Rich Eisen's recap of it. Go put Rich Eisen Top Gun. Okay. Listen to him talk about it. And you're like, shit, really? Like he and his wife was there with him doing the show that day, and they both went to the movie the night before, and so she was gushing over it also. Apparently it was a knockout. So you would never think that a sequel 40 years later would be any good, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, that's the thing. My bar was low, so to hear that what I'm hearing, it's like,
but you know what, in a way, and maybe I'm not in the majority, but I'm a Tom Cruise guy. So I love most of his movies anyways. I would say that I've enjoyed most every movie I've ever seen of Tom Cruise. So if you go by the history, we shouldn't be surprised that Tom Cruise is part of it and it's successful because no matter how many Mission Impossibles come, you keep watching them and you enjoy the crap out of all the Mission Impossibles. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Even so, like weird movies like Edge of Tomorrow, like that you think would be like kind of piece of crap movies. Like I'm like, no, I'll watch that whenever it's on TV. Like,
yeah, The Last Samurai, bro.
Right.
I enjoyed the crap out of The Last Samurai. You know, Days of Thunder. I can watch that, bro.
This one's for you, Harry.
Yeah, man. I'm a Tom Cruise guy, man. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. All right, my brother, I appreciate you.
All right, you can be my wingman anytime.
Anytime, baby. Enjoy the Okie tonight. Be good.
Hopefully. See you, buddy.
You got it. There he is, the great David Dwork in our lockdown segment.